Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
It's Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Did you even watch Lower Decks this week?
No. I completely forgot. I haven't watched Lower Decks or I was so busy with that fucking Kinsey, bro. Like, I haven't watched Lower Decks and I haven't watched She-Hulk.
She-Hulk was
still on. She-Hulk's still on, right?
It's the finale was this week.
Okay, yeah, I haven't watched either of them.
Yeah, I actually, you know, some people are talking, well, this the typical, the bros are talking shit about it. But I kind of dug it. I mean, it kind of went a little weird, but it kind of got a little meta. But I thought it was funny. What was it? There was a line in there. It doesn't give anything away, but it was just the line that I thought was funny because she does this. Look, Bruce's Hulk smashes. I break down fourth walls and break stereotypes. And then she looks at the camera and goes, and sometimes Matt Murdock. And I was like,
stupid.
But she gave that look of like, uh-huh.
Honestly, Matt Murdock just saved the show for Steve. As soon as Matt Murdock showed up, the show was a 10. Right out the gate.
No, I liked the show. I liked it even before.
No, Matt I know. Murdock. I'm just kidding.
But yeah,
I haven't seen. I think I'm two episodes behind on that because I haven't even seen Matt Murdock.
Oh no.
I think that was the last one I haven't seen. But yeah, I definitely want to finish it. It's only two episodes. Fuck's sake. I enjoyed the show. But I will say it was one of those shows that it was enjoyable to watch, but if I didn't have a friend who was also watching it, I probably wouldn't have watched it. Mm. It wasn't holding my attention terribly, but and as I always say, I don't really watch a lot of TV. So I'm always a bad gauge for if a show's good to watch or not. And then when I do watch TV, I watch weird fucking shit. Like, right now I started watching Dragon Ball Z shows from like 88, you know, but
when you asked me on the other show, like, I kept thinking like, what am I going to put on there for, like, you know, what do we do this week? And I was thinking like, yeah, what did I do this week? Oh, I don't know. It's, you know, suffocation, no breathing.
Yeah. Can't give up. I just thought that'd be a cool little section. Cause it's, noticed that our openers are always just news. And I'm like, no, we'll put that in the news.
Other times we've done that, it's always been, I don't do anything.
Yeah, you know what? But if we put it as a list, we do something.
Well, no, it's usually it's because you go like, I don't do it. I just work and you know, jerk off. You know, it's like.
I don't do anything, but I just made some shit up. Like, I do shit, but it's not anything interesting.
I mock my kids.
However, I can make anything interesting if you want me to, you know. So that's what I did. And I thought about this week because I actually have been doing things that are interesting because I've been trying to break away from the just watching YouTube till I fall asleep when my spare time, you know,
right?
Like, I finished work one day and my wife was here and I usually get up for an hour, like, to get away from the computer
and then come
right dizzy
and then come right back.
Yeah. And then I'd come right back like after dinner or whatever. And, she was like, you haven't turned the computer back on. I said, nope. And I was playing, my Switch on the TV and she goes, cause you're not going to get on the computer. I'm like, no. And she's like, don't you game with your friends? I'm like, well, they're not going to play Castlevania with me. And she's like, oh.
Did she start? So, did she suddenly get like a pull out her phone, start recording you, and start walking around with a British accent going, and now he sits lonely onto the couch?
Pretty much, dude. Well, she thought something was wrong. I said, no, I'm trying to, and I explained it. I said, I'm trying to get away from my fucking desk. Like, I'm there. Like, I'll hang out at the desk in the weekend, but I'm there all day. You know, I don't need to be there anymore. So I'm trying to be like normal people where like I look stuff up on my phone, you know, because if I go to my desk and I go, okay, I'm going to look something up, and then I get into 30 different things.
Well, half the time I go to the computer to look something up, and the first thing I do is look for something different. I don't look up
for exactly what you exactly what you for. Came for, because the computer is the ultimate distraction.
Right.
It has a million things to do. And then I'm going to be completely honest. I work at the same desk that my personal computer is at. I have two monitors. So my personal computer is a Surface tablet, or my work computer. So my Surface tablet will be on the desk, and it will have Teams, which is to communicate. And then I only work from one screen. And then my other screen's either off, or if it's a slow day, I turn my computer on and I'll look stuff up or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not like I'm not doing the same shit. I'm just not doing it so fucking much.
Right.
You know, and I've been reading more comic books and just getting back. I've noticed that I haven't really been doing my geeky shit. And if I don't do that after a while, like the stuff that really interests me and makes me happy, I get bummed out.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still, you get caught in like an autopilot and you're just like, nah, fuck all that. So I've been playing retro video games, reading comic books, tinkering with fucking machines and trying to, I fucking hacked my Steam Link for no reason. Just because I can. And I was smiling the whole fucking time. So.
Shit. Well, I saw it this week. I also saw Andor and She-Hulk. I like She-Hulk. The finale was cool. Andor, they finally did the big heist, and that was crazy. And then Lower Decks was definitely, like usual, you know, Easter egg filled. But I really dug it because they really touched on Star Trek 2, Star Trek 4, Star Trek 5.
So yeah, the movies.
The movies, yeah, they kind of touched on those. It was actually pretty cool, especially they have a moment where I was waiting for the, what does God need with the starship moment?
Nice. And it was my favorite line from that movie.
But it kind of came to that moment, but it took a little bit different turn. But it was like when I saw that scene, I immediately just went, what does God need with a starship? And then it was just like, oh, okay, they're not doing that. But they have a great cameo this week. Great fucking cameo. So yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch
it. It's a holodeck story. So yeah. But yeah, it was a really good one. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it a lot more than this episode of Enterprise.
This episode's a little weird, isn't it? It's yeah. Not, it has some lore in it, which I thought was cool.
Lore,
you know,
wasn't
you learn
in it.
Who invented the transporter.
Oh, I thought you meant lore. Like lore.
No,
was
not lore.
I was
not
like
capital
lore.
L lore. So I thought that was kind of cool. But it was also, the narrative was very loose. Like it looked like they just kind of threw it together. Like it's one of those, and Star Trek does this a lot, where you'll have an episode where someone will show up and it's just like, oh my God, this person was so important to me, but you never heard of them before.
Right.
You know, it's like we've been in the room with this captain on all these intimate conversations, never once mentioned this person who was like a father to him.
Right.
You know,
you were like a second father to me. Funny, I never heard about him before.
Or then Tucker's even talking about how important he was as a young kid before he became an engineer, but these two have never discussed him. Like, it's just confusing. Like, I was like, okay, I see what we're doing.
And then,
you know,
also,
whatever.
And then also, and this is just problem with some TV, and I think just with certain characters in TV, is that they're supposed to be people that they knew from their childhood, but yet they don't really have much chemistry.
Right.
Like between Archer and what was her name? Danica?
Danica, yeah.
Yeah. Like they were supposed to, like, he's supposed to have chased her around with a pistol, like but they had no chemistry. Like there was
they look like they just met.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a an awkward Tinder date is really what it,
honestly, they probably did just meet. You know?
Yeah.
It was I saw the story and it was there.
There was a story.
it was one of those things where the story could have been good, but it wasn't implemented very well.
I think also because it was just an A plot line.
Yeah. There was no B. Mm. Well, there was kind of a B with T'Pol, but T'Pol being cold is like a B of every episode. Come on. You know? She's a born again now, so yeah,
exactly.
But we for real. So let's just roll into this. Fucking Teaser was in. So it's funny because Archer's walking down the corridor with Trip, and like we said, this is all of a sudden this person materializes. Get what I did there? Because he invented the transport. Materializes out of nowhere as this pillar of these two men's life.
Right. They're the cornerstones of each of their lives, and we knew nothing about right. this.
And Trip is in full hero worship mode, definitely foreshadowing of why you should never meet your heroes.
Also, did you notice the huge heart on he had? Like, yeah, that was
rock hard. I'm surprised he bent the corner, bro. Come on.
And if you look, you can keep seeing Archer's eyes go from Trip's eyes down to his dick. Like it kept like, dude, this is like you might want to tie that down a little Trip bit.
The writers were a little heavy handed with this. Like,
so I Trip read was the saying, book. I read
right. So Trip was saying he looked up to this guy as a young kid. That makes sense since he's like one of Starfleet's best engineers. Of course he would. But he goes, my mom bought me his book, Emery Erickson, Father of the Transporter, and read it to me every night for a month. Yo, this one fucking built different, bro. Who? He basically read him a tech manual every night.
Not knowing under the blankets, he was like popping off to it every night when he's reading that.
Like, I've read Linus Torvald's biography, the man who invented Linux. So I guess I'm just as bad. But my mom didn't read it to me as a bedtime story. What the fuck, dude?
What's funny too is like when they, you know, like Trip's all like adjusted his uniform when they're getting ready to transport up. He's all just kind of like making that uniform look good. And then there's just like, you know, that like Archer's like, you want a mirror? Like, it's like
that was Jesus. Funny.
I expected Archer to be like,
you have a mean streak.
It's like, you want some lipstick to put on there too? Like, that while we're
the
at
most
it.
Organic scene in this entire episode.
But that's the thing is like with Trip, most of his shit seems organic. I got to admit though that this season Trip is a little more mature.
Yeah. He's not as hot-headed.
Yeah, and he's not as bumbling as yeah. you know, we've seen in the last 3.
He gets a little angry in this episode, but it's you
justified.
Agree with him.
Yeah, it's justified. Yeah.
So Emery Erickson, played by Bill Cobbs, and his daughter, played by whoever, beam up. Danica's also kind of hot. I'm going to keep it 100.
Yeah, she was.
So,
I mean, she was cute in that, like, used to be a teen like actor. I mean, not that I know. I'm just saying she was cute and she's kind of hot in that way of like she was a teen actor and then kind of grew up and you're kind of like, damn. You know, it's kind of like the way Lacey Chabert kind of got hot as, you know, from Party of Five.
And, right, right. And I don't know who that is. Never watched that show, but I'm here with you.
Mean Girls. She's the brunette in Mean Girls. There's the three that everybody.
I now know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. She was an annoying little kid actor and then she grew up and you're like, fuck, I can actually. You know, same thing with, I mean, Jennifer Love Hewitt was always kind of hot, but she, you know,
Jennifer Love Hewitt in, what was that movie she was in where she was the one that kept showing up and the movie would like slow down because everybody had a crush on her?
Oh, Can't Hardly Wait?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was the pinnacle in that movie of female beauty when that movie came out for me. I was like, how is she this? Like, I almost was just mad. Like, how are you this pretty? It makes no fucking sense.
I remember when I saw her in that movie, I literally got up, left the theater because I was done. Like, he was like, I'm done. I don't need to do it.
There's no reason to see any other woman at that point. I was like, Jesus. My wife watched The Ghost Whisperer. I watched every episode where I couldn't tell you one plot line. All I know is that every episode takes place in the course of a week, which is why she changes her clothes 5 times. That's all I know from that show.
Which is like me when I watched Hawkeye for the plot, quote unquote.
Exactly. So, they go into what he's going to do a little bit, and he's did I write it down or am I ahead of myself? Ahead of myself.
No, you're right. He says you're trying to put me out of a job because he's supposed to increase the transport or somehow.
Yeah, basically you can teleport wherever the fuck you want. So if you want to teleport to Vulcan from Earth, you can do that. That's what he's saying that he's doing. And then of course there's the quote. Archer sounds like you want to put me out of a job. You know, there's a lot of tropes layered on tropes in this episode. So now we're rolling into Act One. The Starlog from this was Captain Starlog supplemental in preparation for Dr. Erickson's experiment. We've reduced power in all our essential areas of the ship. So Trip catches T'Pol in the mess hall. And hasn't really been talking to anybody or whatever. So he's like, you know, what's your issue? you haven't really talked. And she said that she's been reading the Kir Shahar, their Bible.
The Kir Shahar.
Their Kir Shahar, whatever. It's their Bible. He even says it. And she's full born again. That's all she cares about. She doesn't want to talk about anything. So
like a traditional born again Christian, you know, that's all they want to fucking do.
T'Pol is cold about the death of her mother. Nothing new, because he goes, you know, we haven't spoken about that. And he goes, we haven't spoken since the death of your mother. And she goes, that's in the past. It's not relevant.
It's like, wow,
Jesus. Like, even for a Vulcan, like, calm down.
And Trip says it's like been a week. Like, it was like,
it's been like 2 weeks.
It's like going, bruh, like, I even get a passing thought when I die?
Yeah, for real.
But it's funny because like, you know, she's now this, you know, born again Vulcan or whatever. And I kind of expected like Trip to be like, so think we can get a massage, you know, yeah, going later. And then she's all like, I've given my life to God now. I have a purity ring now. This is where.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bracelet or some fucking handmade goofy shit. So after that tender moment, we're in the captain's dining room. Archer, T'Pol, Tucker having dinner with the Erickson's. And now he goes into his thing. It's called a transwarp. Or no, I'm sorry. It's called subquantum teleportation, which is extremely similar to transwarp beaming in the Kelvin universe,
right,
from the movies. And I immediately was like, is this the same thing? And I even clicked on it and I'm like, yes, it's the same thing. But in defense of Enterprise, they were first. So it is what it is. But actually, technically, Enterprise is the history of the Kelvin universe because it didn't split off until
Kirk was born.
Birth.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Christianity with Jesus. That's kind of how this.
It was AK after Kirk. You know. He's explaining that, and you know, people like Tucker, that's unbelievable. And one quote that I thought was kind of cool, he says, all breakthroughs seem hard to imagine before they happen, which is 100% true.
That's so like, oh really, what fortune cookie did you get that one out of?
Well, I thought it was cool. Fuck you, ruining it now. It made me think, for some reason, it made me think of like Flight. Like, I'm sure that when the Wright brothers are like, we're going to fly, everyone's like, sure you are.
The funny thing about this is that when he started talking about, people, you know, it's like those damn kids are talking about, you know, when you beam and stuff like that, you know, you're going to, there's going to be, what is it? He says, I'm trying to remember if I wrote it down somewhere, where he's like, oh, you're going to get like psychosis and doubles and, you know, and, yeah. at all of the stuff, at all the stuff he named, I was like, yo, that happened. Like, those were episodes of Trek. All of that.
Every single thing he said.
Everything that you said, they've done in Star Trek. I was like, going, what the fuck just happened here?
You bastard.
Yeah, because he says, shit, I thought I had it here. Oh, I guess I didn't. But yeah, I was like, when he said that, I was like, well, motherfucker. I go, those were all Star Trek episodes. Like,
well, you know what's funny is that I feel like the teleporter is kind of a crutch and can get in the way and be used as a cheat sometimes.
Oh,
and totally. You kind of know that because every other sci-fi does not have a teleporter. It's very rare to see one. Like even the Orville, like they were flying down, you know, and all kinds of, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's,
well, as they said, the reason
transporter, not the teleporter. Why are you saying teleporter?
Well, they did say that the transporter was cheap. That's why they had it.
It's a cheat. It's easy. You put some Christmas lights up and say, oh, they're there now.
And it's cheaper for them to do instead of landing the shuttlecraft every week.
Right. So now we've moved on to this. They did. Oh, they also ended with a toast. Emery ended with a toast to Archer's father, which was nice.
Did you notice, though, that at that last toast, Danica didn't raise her glass?
She didn't?
No.
That must have just been a mess up.
No, because the thing was, is he had said something that alluded to the fact that alluded to the to something that she knew he was lying.
Okay, I didn't notice that. That's cool.
Yeah, when I saw the shot and I saw everybody, I noticed her hands were, and her glasses down. But Archer kind of looked. Like he kind of looked at her, and that I don't know why it caught me I caught that in the background. Well, but
first of all, if you raising a toast to one of my dead relatives that I loved, and you don't raise your glass, I'm gonna look at you too. Like, what the fuck's your problem?
You racist. Bad luck. You racist motherfucker.
All of a sudden he leans in. He's like, I always fucking knew it. I knew you hated my father. You fucking bitch. You was jealous. She's like, wait, what?
My father could walk on his legs.
What am I going to do with no legs? Jesus. So that happened. another captain's log. Captain's log supplemental. We're entering an area known as the Barrens,
which we never heard about before.
There's not a star system within 100 light years. Perfect condition for memory. Says, I even put in the notes, it said, you just know a place called the Barrens will be anything but. It's not going to be quiet.
But also the fact that we've never heard of this place before.
Never.
And we never will again.
This is a prequel. Never.
You know what would be funny is if Discovery goes, oh, we're in the Barrens. Like, that would just be like, fuck you, Discovery.
Fuck you, Discovery. So Tucker and Emery are doing some modifications to the transporter for this, you know, test or whatever. I thought it was funny. There was a line about Zefram Cochrane that we knew from the movie, right? First Contact. But he said that you'll have a better time the first time you transport if you're drunk something like that.
Oh, because he said Zefram Cochrane knew the trick was to have a drink before liquid courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Trip was kind of like, oh, because they still think he's a fucking god.
Right.
We haven't found out in the timeline that he's just a normal dude. So it was kind of the first time you start seeing that something's shady, because Tucker tries to help Emery with a power converter installation, and he's going, no, I could take care of that. He's like, well, it's no problem. He's like, no, it's good, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And then he wanted to look at the specs. Like, he's like, oh, you know, I just kind of – and he had an engineering – like, it's an engineer's thing. You don't want – Scotty did it, Geordi, all that. Yeah. You're messing with my ship.
And –
And he fucking pulls rank on him.
He pulled rank. He said Starfleet gave me the blah, blah, blah. And you know what? You saw the hero worship fade from his fucking face so fast. But I respect Trip, because he's like, you're not fucking my ship up and putting everyone in danger without me being okay with it.
Right.
I don't give a fuck who let you do what. Like, I was like, okay, this motherfucker, like, you were loving this dude. You had this dude's cock in your mouth a minute ago.
Right.
And now as soon as he acts wrong, I'm like, nah, bitch, Steph, you fucked up.
I mean, when he pulled the blade out, I was kind of like, whoa, Trip, you may want to fucking calm down.
He pulled the phase pistol out and just put it on the counter. Just to let you know that's there, okay? So after that conversation, Emery goes with Danica, and she has to give him like a shot, like some medicine, some little pain medicine or something. Then he shows his Klingon back. I didn't know he was half Klingon.
I know. I was like going, what the fuck, dude? Like,
his whole back is fucked up. And you find out why. It just looks pretty fucked up. And then it cuts to fucking Reed, Malcolm Reed, ghost hunters, motherfucker. There's an anomaly in the armory. It's floating around.
And, I like the alliteration, anomaly in the armory.
Oh, yeah, nice. I didn't realize they did that. You can tell that. So it's him. There's no Makos. It's just him and another dude.
Right.
And a Starfleet dude. And the other Starfleet dude don't look right. He looked nervous, bro. But Reed stays ready, bro. They don't even know what they're fighting. And he's like, I think he had a rifle. And then for some reason, he put that down and picked up a phase pistol. I was waiting for him to put that down and pick up a blade. Like, I was like, okay, bro.
He puts that down and then picks up brass knuckles. Like, that's how it's going to get. Like,
I'm going to be honest. Someone asked me one time, who would you pick from Star Trek to be, like, your bodyguard? I didn't pick Worf. I picked fucking Reed. But Reed's down, bro.
Yeah, Reed's willing to do whatever it takes to get shit done.
And Worf's got his ass whooped a couple times. I'm going to keep it real. I love Worf, but I've seen him get his ass tossed.
What's funny is that, you know, I expected, like, he's, like, going, when they're, like, you know, they heard the noise and then the power went out in the armory. I expected fucking Reed and the other guy to put on proton packs and shit. Like, suddenly they're fucking ghost.
Fucking Malcolm Reed ghost hunter. That was so great.
What was funny was that, like, he's like, you go down there, I'll go up here. And the guy kind of looked like, fuck you, I'm not going over there.
He's like, I ain't doing nothing.
I ain't doing shit. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
So we roll into act two.
Well, in this scene, they find this like anomaly that floats around.
Yeah, I forgot to mention what they were looking for.
Yeah, then they find that there's the power like short circuits and goes out, and there's this like distortion bubble that kind of floats around, and
there's fucking ectoplasm everywhere,
and it slimes the other dude basically, just like totally distorts his face. What's funny is that. Is that
like, and it looks very similar to what Emery has got going on his back,
right? And it's funny because like when Reed finds, you know, the guy screams, and then Reed goes over and he finds him, and then he looks at him and he sees his face, and then he does that, you know, that dramatic turn away, that like that. I really want somebody sometime to just be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the real thing where he walks, oh, Jesus,
oh, God. Damn, what the fuck? No!
Yo, he gets on the radio, go get my boy, they fucked him up. Jesus.
That'd be the dudes from Transporter Room 3. Remember those guys?
Yeah.
like I hope
Floss can help you out, because if he can't, you ain't getting no bitches, bro. Golly.
Hey, somebody go, God damn, the other dude goes, oh.
Someone throwing up in the corner and shit. All of a sudden, it's fucking airplane and shit. It's fucking zany bullshit.
They all have the tip caps.
So in Act Two, starts out with them questioning. Emery, and then they don't think he's involved, but they're asking, do you know anything about this?
Putting needles underneath his fucking fingertips and shit.
Like, yeah, for real. This motherfucker couldn't look any more good. He's like, I don't. And no eye contact. I don't know.
That's what a teenager does when you fuck. The way he was acting was like a teenager.
You know, it's funny you say that's what a teenager, because I had that same look on my face, a parent looking at the teen.
Yeah.
For real? All right, cool. But yeah, so he looks.
I don't know how it happened. I don't know. I've never seen that shit before.
And then, you know, Archer just dismisses him, whatever. And then he's in the room, and now we started figuring out, because he's in the quarters with Danica, and they're going, why did you lie to him?
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. I put domestic dispute. You better call Reed, clear that up, because they're yelling at each other.
That was the thing. Like, if he was supposed to be so close to them, and, you know, he was supposed to be like Archer's best friend, why aren't you telling Archer?
Well, he says why, but I still agree with you.
Yeah.
Because he
says, I know he says
Danica says the same thing.
Yeah.
He's like, it's Archer. You can tell him, like, well, he's Starfleet. He's responsible for ship. But the problem is that just proves that, you know, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
That's going to hurt people. Like, you're being foolish, because if Archer knew he could help you without hurting anyone, he would do it. That's what Danica's saying.
Yeah.
But she's like, nah, fuck everybody else. But then you kind of get it too. Like, I don't agree with what he's doing, but you, and we'll get into it, but you, for the reason that he's doing it, you can, your judgment can get clouded. You know, I get it, but still, he's an asshole. So now they go, you know, Emery's with Tucker to do the test, quote unquote, and they beamed a probe to some coordinates. Emery gives Tucker some busy work, tells him to stop distracting, because Tucker's like, oh, you know, let's go catch something to eat.
Hey, can you rearrange those isolinear chips while you're down there?
For real, dude. And then Tucker's like, well, why don't you get something to eat? You haven't eaten today. He's like, no, I'm going to stay here. He goes, I like to watch the data come in. I'm weird that way. That's not weird for an engineer, but okay. And he goes, oh, I can stay here as a second pair of eyes. Like, no, I don't like to be distracted. It's like, okay, bitch. You know, and that, you could tell it was that look in Trip's face, but he kind of nods, but he has the mouth. I'm like, okay, I got you, bro.
Even funny is if Trip like unzipped his flight suit, stood in front of the counter, and then just started doing helicopter. Is this distracting? Is this distracting?
Fuck you, bitch. This is my shit.
Or just pulls out his dick and drops it on the counter and go, this is my shit, bitch.
So Tucker goes to Archer, and I put in the notes, Tucker lets Archer know Emery's bullshitting.
Which Archer, I thought, explains, which actually were, because I remember watching like the first part where, you know, he's questioning. I'm like, you know, he's full of shit. Come on. Like, come on, Archer. You're not going to let him slide on that.
And I think they say in that his judgment, he's just going with him because he's his, you know, his fucking childhood second father that we just found out about.
Right. But the thing was, is what I was saying is that, you know, in the beginning where he was doing that, where he was like questioning Emery, and Emery was kind of like, oh, honestly, I don't know. And then I was like going, come on, Archer, you don't fucking believe this shit. And then finding out later, it's like, yeah, so I checked that shit you told me to check on. And it was like, okay, so you weren't falling for that bullshit.
Right. Yeah, and Archer right here, he says 5 years prior, a crew member of Emery's research vessel experienced something similar to what Reed was chasing. So he already knew he was bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know what the fuck he's doing. So
the one Reed was chasing with the ectopack. First of all, tell me where he got that, because I don't remember that in the ship's registry.
Yeah, for real. So Archer meets up with T'Pol and C-Deck and two Makos. And they're going to go fucking chase down this anomaly. T'Pol gets caught fucking lacking. And the anomaly blazes past him and hits her in the hand. Then fucking T'Pol, workaholic ass, she's in the fucking sick bay, and Phlox is trying to scan her, and she's looking at her pad, and he's like, could you, for 30 seconds? I was like, that sounded real. Like, it wasn't scripted. Yeah, like, he was like, you put that the fuck down, I'm trying to do my job.
I got a scene to do here, bitch. Can you give me 30 seconds of screen time? Come on.
I laughed too hard, bro. So then,
it's like that shit, because he's like, I need, you know, picture or whatever. I was like, it'd be worse if she pulled out her cell phone. It was like, going, I need to take a picture of this, put it on my Instagram. Hard day on the Enterprise, you know.
Yeah. So they got some pictures of the anomaly, and Trip throws it up on the monitor in sick bay, and he said, Archer said, enhance, not once, not twice, but three times, bro. Three times enhance. I thought we were watching NCIS. And fucking, it zooms in, and he goes, it's Emery's son, dun dun dun.
Emery's son. And which is funny, because every time they enhance and he goes enhance, I was like, at what point does it get pixelated? Like how?
It doesn't in TV. They're actually developing real technology where you can do an enhance, and there's an artificial intelligence at play that will fill it in. Well, but then how do you know it's the actual image?
Yeah. Well, it's like what do you call it? Like Photoshop. When you erase someone and you get it to, you know, continue the background. It samples around it and then kind of fills it in from there.
If I said enhance three times, I would turn to Trip and go, now next time you show me a picture, just start at this level. Don't start at fucking 480p, motherfucker. That ain't helping me.
Do we not have HD in this bitch? Like, what the fuck? Do we not have 8G in here? Like, what the fuck?
I'm in a motherfucking spaceship, homie.
That's like a
fucking warp 5 ship. You can hear bullshit with the camera.
In Lower Decks, like they go into a situation where, you know how I said there were like holodeck things in there? Where the holodeck is just trying to figure this out because it's not part of the program. And it said trying to adjust. You know, and I was thinking like, oh yeah, so that kind of makes sense with that. Although, gotta admit, there's in the opening, if you gotta look at the registry number of the Wayfarer, because it actually spells out boobs.
Nice.
Yeah.
As it should. Thanks for spoiling the entire episode. I'm not going to watch the rest of the series now.
You don't have to. You're welcome.
Thank you. You saved me so much time.
I know your time's important, so there you go.
We've rolled into the shortest of the acts, Act 3. The Act 3 is always short. Like, it just kind of connects.
Well, yeah, it sets it up for the final act.
Yeah. It's like two peaks. Most Star Trek shows are like two peaks. It goes up and then it's kind of like, oh shit. And then it goes down again. And then it goes back up and you're like, oh shit. And then it starts going down.
It's like a pair of tits. Like, you start at the one and you're like, oh yeah, this is good. Then you get into that valley where you're like, okay. But then it raises to the other and you're like, okay, yeah, here we go. Now we're getting.
Oh, there's two of them.
This nice. There's a pair. It's like,
so
unless you're motorboating, in which case, you know.
So Archer hits Emery up at his quarters, and Emery, you know, comes clean. He says Quinn, his son, was the first to test 15 years ago the sub-quantum teleportation thing. And Emery also admits it's a flawed concept. Like, it's not – it doesn't work.
Right. Which is funny because it's like, I know this doesn't work.
He basically kept it going in the Starfleet equivalent of, like, funding.
Yeah,
like he was using the funding to find his son. Basically Quantum Leap with a sadder ending is what I put in, because that's basically what happened. Is fucking it's just not time travel, but the son like got transported somewhere and then he's just hoping that the next leap he'll find his way home.
It's funny that you said that, because when he says like, you know, it's not going to happen, it's that he's going to, you know, I expect him to be like, you know, something along the lines of, well, I stepped into the Quantum Leap accelerator. Wait a minute.
wait, sorry.
Out of nowhere.
Dude, I want to watch that show again.
I don't know. It's on Peacock.
Is it?
Yeah, the original. All five seasons are on Peacock.
Nice.
And but they have the free one. You don't have to pay to get it.
Dude, well, if they made me pay for a show from the fucking 80s and 90s, I'd be upset.
No, to pay to watch Peacock. They have free tiers. I think Quantum Leap is part of the free tier.
Just a theme song, bro.
It'd be funny if you see like Al kind of stick his head out from the wall and they kind of pull it back in.
Yo, that used to trip me out when I was a kid. The special effects were on point for a TV show back then.
Back then, right?
So Archer still wants to help Emery because I guess they're friends. I don't know. Right. I don't know why. Archer and Emery meet up with in Launch Bay 1 because they need more data, and fucking Ghost Quinn shows up again. They get the data, but fucking Archer has to do a fucking Superman leap and dive all wheelchair motherfucker out of his chair. Because Quinn, now I can call the anomaly a name. Quinn went into the wall randomly and it just seems like he's wandering around. Like, he's not – there's no rhyme or reason to anything.
Yeah.
And he blew a fucking – an EPS junction. So now we roll into Act 4, and I wasn't kidding. Act 3 was short. So Tucker tells Archer the last encounter knocked out an EPS junction, which I already told you, and just barely missed a stack of torpedoes. Tucker's not too happy about helping Emery anymore.
what's
– Tucker's
– Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, because, like, like sometimes, like, this is what I meant last week when I said that Archer starts acting brand fucking new.
Yeah.
Like,
and he acts brand new in this fucking episode.
And it just, it's kind of like, okay.
Because it doesn't make any sense, because we've set up the character of Archer where he cares so deeply about his crew. And then you have an episode like this where he's putting them all in danger because of some sense of obligation to this one person who's obviously doing something wrong.
And who could obviously destroy the ship.
Exactly.
And the thing is that, and this is something that I've heard the comment before, and having rewatched these episodes, I'm starting to see it's like, Archer doesn't have any fun. Archer is so fucking intense to the point where he kind of is a dick. Like in this one here, he's like telling everybody's like going, look, it could be destroying the ship and blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, we're going to do it. And it's just kind of like, and then when they get into that hallway and then start.
Yeah. You know, so Tucker, they're walking down the hallway and Tucker suggests he's letting his personal feelings overshadow. And Tucker's yelling at him.
Yeah.
Because Archer keeps waving him off. But Tucker's getting serious because he's like, you're putting everyone in danger. Like, you're being an asshole, bro.
Right.
And then Archer yells at him and tells him to get back to work, essentially. He's like, he said you're dangerously close to
insubordination,
which kind of snaps Tucker out of it a little bit. And then he says, are you going to be able to do your job? And then Tucker's like, yes, sir. You've seen this in Star Trek a million times. It's, you know, people trying to check their superior and the superior checks them back. But Tucker's right.
Yeah. And it's like, we've seen Archer get this way. And I'm just kind of like, you know, it's like going, dude, just, it the way they wrote him is just like, that's my command. Do it. You know, and instead of being like even with Kirk sometimes, you know, people always call Kirk the fast and loose kind of character. It's like, you know, he would explain like, look, I believe.
You know what's funny is people always say that, and I always thought that because that's what people say. And then I started watching a lot of those original series shows. He's a lot more intelligent than people give him credit for.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, he just moves quickly.
Right.
He doesn't – if you compare him to Picard, he's not the type to go suggestions.
Right.
He goes – he's – you could see how he played the character of Kirk. He's intensely paying attention to what's going on, and then he goes – we're doing this now.
Right.
But he's just a decision maker. He's someone who makes decisions without any problem.
Well, the thing is that like with – and that was one of the things that I always kind of –
in the movies, he's a little sillier, I will admit.
Well, yeah. But the things is that I've noticed, and particularly with some of the episodes of Star Trek, is that he will – there are times where he does say suggestions. He'll ask for suggestions. But he'll also have like everybody voicing their opinion to him. So he just kind of does like he takes everybody's opinion and then kind of formulates his own out of that.
Yeah, and they kind of they would always because he's in the center. You know, the original Enterprise bridge is obviously smaller, and he would be in the center, and they would all just be from their stations telling him things, and he wouldn't look at them. He'd just be like focusing,
right,
and just absorbing it all in. And then he's like, "We're doing this." He'd usually do what Spock said.
Yeah,
but yeah, a lot of people talk shit about Kirk who haven't seen it. Like, they just seen the movies. Because he's a little sillier in the movies.
He's a little
but the
sillier.
Whole point in the movies is he's old. He's not supposed to be doing what he's doing.
Yeah, but I think sometimes too is that I think it's mostly because when people see, they're just seeing the clips.
Yeah.
Of what he does out of context. So they're not seeing him actually doing what he's doing. And that's the one thing that I've always said is because like with Archer, it's more of like, you know, sometimes when he wants advice, he'll ask for it. But a lot of times it's like, this is my orders, do it. Regardless of what the crew says, in more instances, I think if Enterprise was redone now, they would probably soften Archer and be more of like, look, guys, I understand your concerns, but Quinn was my best friend. And if there is a chance that we can bring him back, I would do this for you too. If there was a chance to bring any of you back and you were lost out there, we've got to at least try it. If it gets too bad, we will stop.
And that would be more true to his kid. That would be something Picard would do.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing something dangerous. I'm letting you all know. You can get off right now if you want.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, the Expanse really changed Archer. you know?
Yeah.
I think that although this season's cool, I like this season, I like first season Archer the best.
Yeah.
You know, I think they went a little too heavy-handed with, like, this PTSD thing. And it's made him a little bit more, like, just rougher on the edges a little bit. Not every episode, though, but a lot of them. So now Archer and Emery are getting ready, you know, to do the whole fucking thing. And Archer says his dad used to tell him, don't fail. And I was like, that sounds like me. That's me. Like, my kids will be like, I'm just really nervous. And I'm like, well, don't be. Thanks, Dad. Thanks. Yeah. I was like, well, that's the solution. I don't know what to tell you. So they try to be, they're at the transport and they're trying to transport Quinn back into like phase, basically. And Phlox is on standby, obviously. And
Phlox is like, ooh, second day of shooting.
It's not going well. They're trying to adjust things. There was a moment where he asked him to do something and Tucker's like, it can't do that. And he's like, I built the damn thing. It's like, oh, I don't care. I can't do that. So Phlox lets him know no matter what they do, Quinn is going to die within seconds because of massive cellular deterioration. So Archer finally convinces Emery, you can't save him. Just let him go. And Emery beams him in only to hold him and just say he's sorry. So Quinn only was like, he was confused. Obviously, he didn't know where the fuck he was.
Right.
And he was like covered in sweat. And he's just like, what happened? And he just said, forgive me. And then Quinn died. And there was a little heartfelt moment with Emery crying over him, stuff like that. That whole scene was done really well.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, I'm just kidding. Bitch. No, I mean, to be honest, Quinn probably has only been a second for him, is what I'm figuring, because he's like, what happened?
Yeah, that's why he's like, what happened? Because he's transported. He probably didn't even know he was wandering around.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? You know? Because I remember fucking Scotty was trapped in the buffer and he said he remembered shit. Didn't he? Somebody said, no, it was the other Riker.
Yeah.
But who knows? He's always lying. So later in Emery's quarters, Archer lets him know he'll have to answer for his crimes, but should get off light since, you know, he invented the fucking transporter. In the sick bay, Phlox confirms to Paul is 100% cured of Pinar syndrome, which I guess was a B storyline. I don't know. This is the first time they've mentioned it, but he's confirmed it.
Well, because it was a leftover. This is
the first time they mentioned this episode, I mean.
Well, yeah, because of the Kishara episode.
Yeah. So to Paul, let's Trip know she doesn't have time to have a relationship with him now that she's on her self-discovery journey or whatever. And fucking
the way Trip reacted was
his actually, quote was, at least my warp engines still need me. I felt it, bro. I felt that shit.
I was like, you know, I the way he reacted, and he just kind of had that smirk when she walked away, just like, I mean, and he, like he said, he goes, I knew this was coming, you know. And
yeah, it's almost like closure for him because he knew, like, she was kind of keeping him in the wind, not intentionally, but you know. Then we have another Starlog. So Captain Starlog supplemental. We've rendezvoused with the how do you say it? Sarajevo.
Sarajevo. Yeah.
Which will be returning Emery and Danica to Earth.
No, it's pronounced Sarajevo.
Thank you. Little fucking Spanish guitar at the end. Emery and Danica are leaving, but Emery hands Tucker a pad with info to boost the transporter's range a few hundred kilometers. I triple checked that shit after what happened.
Dude, the way Trip looked at him when he took that pad of like, like, yeah.
I don't know. So Emery and Danica. He should have taken
it and looked at it and then threw it back. I'm going to go, fuck you.
Emery and Danica beam over to the Sarajevo. And that's the end of the episode, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, people just walk away from the transporter, and that's that scene. Production notes.
If you look closely, you can see Archer put his hand in front of his face, go, and scene.
Yeah. He just fist bumps. Yeah. Story and script. The genesis of this episode came when Manny Cotto, who wanted it to feature the inventor of the transporter, since virtually nothing had been established about that person before, quote, "I conceived of an idea of where we meet that character and he comes on Enterprise and has an
and multiple places
and we beat it out from there." Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened, Manny, so good for you.
Yeah.
The post-production version of this episode final draft script was submitted for archive on January 4th, 2005. That script omitted the captain's star log entry, which opened the episode's first act. However, a supplemental log entry, which is not in the episode, was written into the script immediately after Quinn Erickson's death scene. In that script dialogue, Archer reported, "Repairs have been completed and we're bringing Emery and Danica back to Earth." Well, that's not necessary. That's why. We know you fixed some shit. Like, it's assumed. Production.
Captain Starlog supplemental. We fix shit. We coming home.
We make things go.
Packlet. It's a Packlet log entry.
Production. 7 days were used to shoot this episode. Why? There's only one storyline. The sixth of which was October 18, 2004. On that day, the events included some filming on the set for Enterprise's sick bay located on Paramount Stage 8. That's from Star Trek Magazine, issue 155, page 32, by the way. This episode takes its name from the character of Daedalus in Greek mythology. Daedalus II is a brilliant inventor whose invention kills his son Icarus because he flies too close to the sun. You know, the wings and shit. If you don't know that story, read a book. Seriously. Get off the computer right now.
Can I find that on TikTok?
Probably, actually. Reception. Manny Cotto, executive producer of Star Trek Enterprise, believes this episode to be one of the weakest of the Enterprise's final season. "I wasn't pleased with the way the script turned out or with the final production. It was just a flawed episode." Okay. Well, you kept it real.
Well, I mean, did we expect anything else from fucking Brennan?
Here we go. Fellow executive producer Brandon Braga also criticized this installment, calling it kind of a dreadful episode. He went on to say, "All I remember is it just turned out terribly." So he hates that episode. Continuity. In a bit of irony, many of the misgivings critics had regarding potential side effects of the original transporter, as described by Erickson during a conversation, came true through Star Trek lore, psychosis, copies, etc. Daedalus represents the first time the inventor of the transporter has been officially established, seen, or mentioned. So that's what saves the episode for me, because I get hard off of that fucking that lore shit. This episode has a resemblance to the Star Trek Voyager episode. Every fucking episode has a resemblance to a Voyager episode. Do you ever notice that?
Because that was the last series that...
Yeah, I know. resemblance to Star Trek Voyager episode Jetril, wherein Mabor Jetril deceives the crew of the USS Voyager into using their transporter in his attempt to revive the Talaxians that dissolved from the Metreon cascade that he created. Definitely sounds like a Voyager episode. There's also an echo of Dr. Richard Daystrom in TOS, The Ultimate Computer, as Erickson mentions that after inventing the transporter, his life consisted of endless attempts to recapture his former glory. Yeah, he peaked.
Yeah. It's basically his version of peaking in high school.
Right. I mean, peaking by inventing the transporter is kind of dope, though. I mean, you could ride that for the rest of your life. During the dinner scene, Erickson states that a subquantum transporter can transport a person from Earth to Vulcan. Then Tripp comments in awe that is over 16 light years. Vulcan was previously confirmed in Home to be 16 light years from Earth. Yeah, it was. Long-range transportation appears to be achievable, as a Delta Quadrant species, Sicarians, have a similar technology as established in the Star Trek Voyager episode, Prime Factors, Dominion. I also, if you read interviews and stuff from Braga, I think that was his favorite Star Trek. was Voyager.
Probably because he had more control over Voyager.
He had way more control over it. Dominion transporter technology has been shown to be capable of transporting a person over distances of up to 3 light years, as seen in the Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode Covenant. In Star Trek, transwarp beaming enables persons to be transported among the planets of a star system, such as from Titan to Narada, which was orbiting Earth at the time. There was also long-range alien transports in the Star Trek The Original Series episodes Assignment Earth and The Gamesters of Trixelion. So it's possible, is what they're trying to say. And then last, the making of this episode followed the release of the non-canon Wildstorm comic graphic novel Forgiveness, which also involved the inventor of the transporter. But since it's not canon, don't fucking worry about it. Not a solid episode.
Before we get into the rest of that, I wanted to kind of share this. I thought this was funny. Someone used an explosive device to blow apart a Bank of America ATM in Palmdale. The force of the explosion, however, wasn't strong enough to access the cash inside.
What a fucking fail. Now you're going to go to jail with nothing. You didn't even break the thing. Those fucking ATMs are no joke.
Oh, yeah.
They're like little safes. I've watched videos of people who have bought like some from a used place. They always think there's going to be money and it's, of course, empty.
Right.
And it takes them hours to get into that fucking thing. And they're usually buying one from like the 90s. Like, it's not even a modern one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This episode was kind of a... I would say it's a misstep, but that's the thing with most of these seasons is they're very inconsistent.
I think the biggest issue for me, and it kind of fucks up a lot of the show, is that the two guest stars have no chemistry with each other or anyone else on the crew.
Yeah.
So it seems very like very forced. It almost like they just read the script that morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, and that was the thing. Like she just Danica, like the relationship between her and Archer was just like non-existent.
Yeah.
Also just Even with, I think the thing was, is that I think what happened is there was that whole like, oh, we're being secretive and being, you know, amongst the crew about our mission, that it created the standoffishness that, you know, that and usually when anybody acts remotely well, anybody can look good with Trip. But even my man, Emery, who's been in like so many movies and we've seen him do better roles. And
he seemed like he was phoning it in. Yeah. To be honest.
So,
but yeah, you're right about Trip. He carries a scene. It doesn't really matter who he's acting with. But yeah, it's, it was just a boring episode. I actually paused it and walked away like twice. So I was doing other things. And then I watched the whole episode and remember, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be making notes. So I had to go back and basically watch it again.
Oof.
And I was like, I just kind of skimmed it. And then I had Memory Alpha open just to remind me of things. And I was like, okay.
I did that too.
So
next week's episode, Observer Effect, is a pair of non-physical Organians study the response of the Enterprise crew to the infection of Hoshi Sato and Tucker by
finally we got an episode with Hoshi having front center stage. I don't even think she was in this one.
I don't think she was in this one either. By a fatal silicone-based virus brought on board during an away mission. I can't wait till we get to the Mirror Darkly.
Oh my god, that episode is so fun.
Not only that, but those midriffs.
Yeah. Yes. And also Archer, if you thought Archer was mean now, he dials that. He has so much fun being an asshole in that episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's a fucking asshole in that episode. And I really like that episode, too. The whole they found a main universe ship.
Yeah.
and they were trying to steal and they stole it or whatever. It was a really good episode.
Yeah, I liked the way they just worked it in with the Tholians and stuff, the Tholian web from TOS. And Archer wears the green wraparound suit. And so it's only him, Kirk, and Pike have worn that that green wraparound. That is one of my favorite episodes. I love it. And especially like that episode when it uses the alternate opening.
Yeah.
You know, like that, that
shit. Yeah, they went all in, man. I remember when I originally watched that episode and I was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, oh, is this a mirror episode? Oh, yeah. Shit.
And the cool thing was, and one thing that I truly loved about this one is that nobody went into the mirror universe. It was just a mirror universe episode.
Yeah, there was no cross. The only crossover bit was the ship.
The Defiant.
And you never saw anyone in the ship that came with the ship. I think they were all probably executed or whatever, but I forget where it came from. I don't think they ever explained it in the main universe how it ended up there.
Well, it's because it disappeared in the Tholian.
That's right.
That subspace thing where it disappeared, it ended up in the mirror universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that and the mirror universe is a little ahead, or the main universe is a little ahead of the mirror universe at technology, I think.
Yeah.
So they were all fucking hamming for that damn thing. It's basically the Enterprise.
And then we also got what was his name? Admiral, the one that died earlier in the season. He, remember, because he's captain of the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Archer is his first officer. So.
So great.
Yeah.
So fucking so great.
Such a great episode. I can't wait to get to that one. I think it's only a couple of episodes off. I think we just got a couple weeks, and then we'll get to that main one. That's a great one.
But the next one sounds cool, too. It sounds like a typical Star Trek episode. A lot of weird shit going on.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we'll be hitting, I think next episode will be the midpoint of season four.
Yes, sir.
It's been a long road.
Getting, you know, we're here. Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.